So, everyone this morning has been asking me if we're going to have a baptism. And we're not going to have a baptism, but we're going to do a little show and tell. So, who do you say that Jesus is? If you were asked who Jesus is, what would you say? Who is he? Who is he to you? And who are you in relationship to Jesus Christ? A lot of people think that Christ is Jesus' last name. Because we use it that way, Jesus Christ. But in truth, he is the Christ, Christos in Greek, which means the anointed one. In Hebrew, that is Mashiach, which we call Messiah. But it's a very interesting history of how this evolves and who is anointed and who isn't anointed. Every year, the clergy meet with the bishop to renew our clergy vows, our priestly vows. And at that service, oil is consecrated for healing, which we call unction. And we also, she also consecrates chrism. And chrism is used only for baptism and at the time of death. So these oils represent something very profound for us, for healing, restoration, and a deep connection with spirit. So if we go back to Leviticus, I know you all read Leviticus, chapter 8, that is when Aaron, the first priest, Levite priest, is anointed as a priest. But before that, Moses, who we heard about today in the Old Testament reading, he receives a recipe, if you will, for the oil of anointing from God on the Mount Sinai. And so this oil is to be used for the anointing of priests and kings and occasionally prophets. Not all prophets are anointed with oil. So the oil itself, coming from olives pressed and also infused with fragrances of spice. So it's really like a consecrated Garden of Eden that is placed on the head to anoint. And the one who is anointed is called Mashiach. So it isn't just Jesus who was called Mashiach, but all of the priests and the kings. When the king is anointed, immediately he is filled with the Spirit of God. So there is a deep connection with the oil and Spirit. There's also a connection with light. It is liquid light. So in other words, by anointing someone with the Garden of Eden, it is God's restoration of heaven on earth. So that person or that place becomes a portal for heaven and earth. You'll remember about 3 or 4 Sundays ago, we had that memorable passage of Jacob in the ladder. Remember, he chooses a stone on which he uses to lay his head upon, and God happens to him in a dream. And in that dream, he sees the heavens opening up and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder. So he himself was a portal, and he takes the stone on which he lay his head, and he stands it up, and he anoints the stone with oil. And he says, surely God was in this place. And so the anointing sets either a place or a person apart for a special role, as consecrated, as holy. When we dedicate a church, the lintels of the church are anointed with oil, because it is a portal of the heavens and the earth. So I'm going to ask Troy to come up here, and I'm going to give a little demonstration. I selected Troy because he has a blank canvas up here.
Which told me earlier. I would have had my hair done.
And so this is the oil of chrism. So when you are baptized, you are marked by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. So what that means when you are anointed, you are also Mashiach. We are the anointed following the anointed one. And that might bring a little deeper meaning to what baptism really imparts to us. So would you hold that for me, Troy? He's sort of like Vanna White. So at the waters of baptism, and also you may not notice this during a baptism, but we anoint the waters of baptism with oil. So that's the waters of baptism apart as a holy water, okay, set apart for a specific purpose. And so, Troy, if you would come over, and so, I'm not going to baptize you. I think you've already been baptized. It's a little messy. But, and so when one is baptized, then they are anointed with oil on their forehead and marked as Christ's own forever. Now, in the early days of baptism, one would have been poured oil over their head. So it would have been a baptism of full immersion, and a baptism in oil, which would run down upon their garments. But as the church grew in the early days of the church, and the bishop was the one who anointed with chrism for other things, there wasn't enough time to do this. So the bishop would literally swing by on his horse and, you know, mark everyone as Christ's own forever. So the oil is very significant. You know, we're instructed when someone is sick to call together the elders of the church and to anoint them with holy oil. So it is a representative of heaven being instilled in us to restore us to our full nature. So when someone asks you, who is Jesus, or who are you? What difference does that make to you to know that you are an anointed one? So in Scripture, we are a royal priesthood. We are all anointed, set apart for God's work, to be a portal to open that passage there between heaven and earth. That is your calling, to usher in heaven on earth. It's a big responsibility. And in the Lord's Prayer, that's what we say: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in Colossians, it says that you have died with Christ. And you live in Christ. And when Christ is revealed, your true nature will be revealed as well. So we are so much more than what we take ourselves to be. St. Francis asks the question every day, who am I, and who is God? Every day, that was his primary question, to inquire about who am I and who is God. He never took it for granted that he knew. He understood that this is something I must continue to explore, to deepen, to understand, who am I? You can be seated, Troy. So the anointed one, you are anointed. Just like Jesus, the Christ, you are anointed. Hence we are called Christians. From Christos, anointed ones. In that passage in Colossians, after it says that we have died and our true nature is hidden in Christ, it says to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and gentleness and humility and meekness, to forgive one another. This anointing is a reminder that we are no longer children of this earth, but children of God. And he encourages us not to set our sights on earthly things, but on heavenly things, so that we might not only carry that anointing, but live into it, be transformed by it. And that's what the Epistle to the Romans is inviting us to do, is to place ourselves repeatedly as an offering to God. And it takes nurture. We don't become Christ by just coming to church. we have to seek it in our heart to desire to be transformed in the very likeness of God. So our baptism is the place of initiation. Normally, the font is placed at the back of the church because it is a rite of entrance into the church. So symbolically, if you've ever been to Grace Cathedral, you know, they have that huge font right as you enter the doors. That is the rite of initiation into the church, to become anointed, to carry that name, is a huge responsibility. One that we're invited to plumb and explore all the days of our life. Who am I? Who are you? Who is God? Amen.